Hi, this is your host, Dave Custy, for International Business here on Baltimore Internet Radio. My guests today are Nina Bankova and Wally Pinkert of the World Trade Center Institute here in Baltimore. They're going to talk about the World Trade Center Institute and also about the 8th Annual Women Spanning the Globe Conference on May the 21st, 2014. Nina Bankova is the Director of Professional Exchanges, Strategy, and Business Development at the WTCI. She joined the WTCI in August 2006 to revive the professional exchanges program. Currently, WTCI's professional exchanges include federally funded programs for adult professionals and youth, academic enhancement programs for local and international universities, and education and networking receptions for embassies and professional associations. Nina is also instrumental in bringing to life other WTCI initiatives related to strategic community and corporate outreach and new product development. She earned her MS in Applied Economics from Johns Hopkins University in 2012 and her BS in Economics from Towson University in 2006. Nina is an avid community volunteer and has served in various leadership roles at Getting Involved in Volunteer Experiences, a program of business volunteers. As a way to give back to one of her former educational institutions, Nina teaches economics to undergraduate students of Towson University. She lives in Pikesville, likes to travel internationally and to explore new places around the Baltimore area. Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio, Nina.
Thank you.
Wally Pinkert is the Marketing and Event Planning Manager. Wally joined the World Trade Center Institute as an intern in September 2010, gaining valuable experience and insight into international business. Building on the positive experience of his internship, Wally rejoined the Marketing and Event Planning Department of WTCI in August of 2011. He received his undergraduate degree from the School of the Museum of Fine Arts at Tufts University, where he concentrated on painting and multimedia design. Upon graduation, Wally returned to his hometown and received his MBA from the Merrick School of Business at the University of Baltimore in 2011. Prior to joining WTCI, Wally was a marketing intern at the Emerging Technology Center in Canton, just down the street a little bit, where he managed the organization's website and assisted with social media and marketing efforts. Originally from Baltimore, Wally currently resides in Mount Washington, a neighborhood where he enjoys cheering on the Baltimore Ravens, playing kickball in Patterson Park, as he still come back here, and serving as a weekend mentor for Bridges, an academic and cultural enrichment program for East Baltimore youth. Wally, welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio.
Thank you.
Now, tell us about the World Trade Center Institute. Nina?
Sure. The World Trade Center Institute is the largest international business networking organization, established 25 years ago in 1989. Our founders at the time, the governor William Donald Schaefer and RTKL chairman Harold Adams, really wanted to create an organization to promote international trade and prosperity. And this is actually the motto of the World Trade Center Association and its all 300 members, which were also a member of promoting peace and prosperity through trade. We are a nonprofit organization as well, and we serve over 100 member companies in the area. We also work with a lot more than that through different sponsorship and event attendance opportunities, and we've engaged through the years over 18,000 individuals with our programs, events, and services. Visibility is a really big service that we provide to our members, and also connections, making connections to foreign embassies in Washington, D.C., connections with World Bank and representatives and opportunities with other members and non-members of WTCI as well. Our international business networking events are a big part of our operations, and this is what our Women in Global Leadership Conference that we'll talk about a little later is. It's one of our four signature events. In the spring, we host our International Business Leadership event, which is hosted at the Visionary Arts Museum. It's really a who's who of international business leaders of the Maryland area. Attracts over 300 of them, a very high-profile event. Our embassy night is in Washington, D.C. every October, and it is the largest gathering of diplomats outside of New York City. We attract about 320 business and diplomatic leaders. And in December, around holiday time, we have our funner event, which celebrates our anniversary, 25th this year in 2014. We call it our anniversary and wine tasting State of the Ports event. We really celebrate our founding companies as well as our close ties with the Port of Baltimore. We also host some other member-specific events and series, which are either geographically focused or industry-specific. So since we're international business networking organization, networking is naturally what we provide, but also the connections. In addition to the embassies and the World Bank that I already mentioned, we have also close partnership with the Maryland Department of Business and Economic Development, DBET, and with USEAC, the U.S. Export Assistance Center. They have about 120 offices abroad. DBET has about 12 trade specialists around the world. And U.S. Global Ties U.S. is our partner in Washington, D.C. that we work with on our professional exchanges program. Professional exchanges is actually an important part of what we do. And also very close to my heart, we host over 600 foreign professionals every year. And we kind of like come full circle with this program, because if WTCI was created to connect Maryland-based businesses to global opportunities, the Professional Exchanges Program brings foreign professionals to connect them with local resources and to give opportunity. Through that program, we give opportunity to American citizens to also be ambassadors of American culture and values. So we pride ourselves with having those types of activities and connections.
Talk a little bit about the Professional Exchange Program. We did a show last year with press people from Tajikistan.
Correct.
How did that come about? What is the process in getting people over here?
Sure. There are several different funders or so-called sponsors for the program. We work with the U.S. State Department, with USAID, U.S. Agency for International Development, as well as Open World Leadership Center, which the group that you met with came through. The Open World Leadership Center is the foreign exchange's arm for the U.S. Congress. And the process is very similar for most of them. People that come, they are either nominated by the U.S. embassies in the respective countries, or they initiate a program through proposal writing and showing a need for the certain field that they're interested in learning more about. The professional exchanges really aims at introducing foreign professionals to local resources to exchange ideas, how things are done here, what can be done in their own countries, bring back those practices and implement them to improve institutions, to increase awareness. Fields that professional visitors come to learn about range from literally anything to anything, like environment to healthcare to education to women in business and so on and so forth. So we do host over 600 visitors. Some of them stay with homestay families. That provides them the opportunity for a fuller immersion in American culture. And the group that you met with last summer was one of those. They stayed for 8 days with homestay families.
Now, by homestay families, these are just regular people.
Regular people
that are opening up their homes to the visitors there.
Any background, any age, any family size can be a homestay family and welcome foreign professionals to their home. And really, the idea is we keep them busy throughout the day, so it's not about spending all day with them.
No, they're not underfoot during the day in the kitchen or anything.
No, they're not. They really are at home just in the mornings and in mm-hmm. the evenings. They're like working adults. We arrange for transportation, so that's also off the homestay family shoulders, so they don't need to worry about this. And
how do you find your homestay families?
Hard. Outreach. It's mostly outreach, word of mouth, social media, working with Wally and his team on spreading the word out, emails. We do look for all sorts of venues to reach out mm-hmm. to the wider community. Many people don't think of us in terms of the Professional Exchanges Program, even though things are starting to change in the past couple of years, but we still have way to go and engage more people. We want more people to be engaged because it's mutually beneficial. It really is. You learn so much about the foreign culture and the challenges that the other countries face. It increases mutual understanding. And at the end of the day, if foreign businesses and professionals have view America and Americans in a better light, business will prosper and people will buy American-made products more and more abroad. So,
and that's one of the things that I'm attempting with starting this radio station, is that it's mutually beneficial. And that program, well, maybe I can help in terms of getting it out there.
We have, should you talk about the groups we have coming in this summer in that regard, make a little appeal?
Absolutely.
Oh, there you go.
We are hosting also a youth program for a fourth year in a row now, which is a new activity for us, working with high school students. They are from Mexico, come for 12 days every summer at the end of July. So this year they will come from July 20th until August 2nd, I believe. And we are looking for homestay families for them. We do prefer families with children, but we really have had a lot of successful placements in families without children. It really doesn't matter.
How many are there?
We'll host about 15 high school students, and they'll stay for 12 days. They'll learn about youth empowerment. So they'll be split in groups of maybe four or five students from different schools in Mexico that have ideas for projects they want to implement when they go back home. These projects can be, they're mostly to engage their peers and younger students in activities after school. They're trying to engage their peers in productive activities. So they have projects that are either involving them in the arts or sports or different workshops, whatever the students have passion in. So we expose them to organizations like the Baltimore Curriculum Project or other youth organizations in the Baltimore area to learn about how they work with youth, what they do to keep them involved, what they do to keep them off the streets and motivated, and so on and so forth. The Mexican Department of Education and U.S. State Department jointly sponsor the program. They do follow up with the students. World Learning in Washington, D.C. administers the program for the United States and make sure that those kids actually go back and implement their projects.
So if you wanted to house one of these students, how does it work? If somebody came to you and said, what's my role going to be? What am I responsible for here?
You need to be open, first and foremost, to be open to learn about the foreign culture and to be open to also share your lifestyle, to take your visitor maybe to simple things as grocery shopping, to take them to the park, to show them the community you live in, to show them the way that you live in, which doesn't mean that you have to completely turn around your lifestyle. You do have to be yourself so that visitors get the true picture of what American lifestyle is like. We are also busy people. We care about our families. We go to work. We come back. We have our daily routines that we follow, go to the gym or whatever else that might be for the specific families. You need a spare bedroom for sure. With the high school students, we can place them with the children of the family as long as they're the same gender and close enough in ages. There is a house visit required by the State Department that will allow us to meet the family members, see the neighborhood, just get a feel about the location that the student or the visitor will be staying in. And for the youth programs, criminal background check is also required, which is something some people flinch at, others don't really care as much. And that's basically it. I mentioned transportation. We take care of transportation, so that's not a requirement. Many people think it is. And our programs are just long enough to allow for enough interaction to get to know your visitor, but not too long to overwhelm the family.
What about the financial outlay?
Financial, so these programs are all volunteer. There is no compensation offered by the State Department.
Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, does the family have to pay for anything in terms of
food
or whatever and all that kind of
thing? So, yes, the family does need to host the guest just like a member of their family at the time of the stay. So, yes, they would have breakfast or dinner with the family. We do take them out for weekend trips. If it's a longer program of 3 weeks, we do have a couple of those a year. We can take them to New York City, to Washington, D.C., to Annapolis, to the regular suspects that, you know, you would expect that as a visitor in the area, you would go to these places, but we don't expect the homestay families to actually do that for the visitors. But yes, otherwise, expenses related to food, room and board, I would say, are up to the family. And because the State Department wants to assure that the people willing to host visitors do this for the cultural components and cultural aspects, because they really want to experience the interaction with the foreign culture and are not motivated by financial incentives. There is no stipend provided mm-hmm. for the homestay families. One more thing I probably mm-hmm. should say. Some of our visitors do stay with homestay families, but the majority, unfortunately, don't, because we don't, because they travel from city to city too much, and they stay mm-hmm. at hotels and eat at our restaurants. The professional exchanges program, only our WTCI's professional exchanges program, generates about $1,400,000 of economic impact for the state of Maryland. Out of this amount, only $150,000 is federal grant money.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically turn and generate about $9 into economic impact per taxpayer mm-hmm. dollar spent in our community through this program, which is the other side of mm-hmm. Why we pride ourselves. And it might be just a drop in the bucket of the whole budget, but mm-hmm. it is still impact that
we can't go without. Tell people where you're from. And you've been there since at WTCI since 2006, and you took over this program. Just a little bit of background about yourself and about what's changed in the 8 years you've been there.
Sure. I started at WTCI in 2006, right after graduation from Towson University. I've been in the country for about 10 years now, originally from Bulgaria, as you said. A lot and not too much has changed at WTCI in the sense of we're still small nonprofit organization, will still do big things. The one big change has been the International Women Spanning the Globe event, which started exactly at the same time when I started at WTCI. I was at the first ever International Women Spanning the mm-hmm. Globe event. It started on the 21st floor of the World Trade Center building with about 70 attendees. The event came about because of some of the changes that have been happening at WTCI and in the international business arena in general. When we were first established 25 years ago, international business and business in general was mostly done by men and with men. And as the environment was changing, more and more women were getting into the field of international business, and they wanted to share experiences. They wanted to have a forum where they can talk about what's important, what their challenges are, and their challenges were different from what men had experienced on the international business arena. Sure. So this is how the event came about, and it's been very energizing. Literally, what today is this really inspirational and sensational event started very small. We're at capacity right now of 300 plus mm-hmm. women at the Visionary Arts Museum. Everybody loves the event. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. Rebecca Hofberger, who is the president and CEO of the Visionary Arts Museum, always attends, and that's one of her personal favorites as well. So that's one of the bigger changes. The WTCI network has changed somewhat as well through the years. We are getting and being more and more diverse. We are trying to reach businesses that are in more remote areas. We were first started with the purpose of connecting Maryland-based businesses to global opportunities. Right now, we're really the Mid-Atlantic International Business Network. We're actually the largest international business network in the Mid-Atlantic region. We were also selected in 2011 as a private sector liaison officer for the World Bank. So now we also have the World Bank connection. The professional exchanges program has grown tremendously, and also we've started to reach out to more universities and academia. We've started to work with local and international universities on their not only international needs, but also in serving their local students and exposing them to organizations in Washington, D.C., embassies, exposing them to things that they might have heard of, like the International Monetary Fund mm-hmm. or different embassies in Washington, D.C. or World Bank. You know, they've heard of those organizations, but they never even imagined getting into the building and being wowed by the sheer size of their locations. We've also started working more with embassies, and these are two mm-hmm. areas we're trying to expand on. Work with universities more and work with embassies more and serving their mm-hmm. needs and finding more and more synergies between the two or among them and the corporate world.
So we have Wally Pinkert here too. Wally, you've been very quiet so far.
Yeah.
What do you like to talk about? You want to talk about the women's?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about this year's incarnation of Women Spanning the Globe. As Nina said, it started out 8 years ago, and it was interesting. I mean, it started out as a smaller event than it is now, but even in the first year, it exceeded its expectations in terms of turnout and size. And it's kind of continued to do so, and the event's just gotten bigger every year, and the excitement's just gotten greater. And I think one of the challenges with an event like this is trying to keep it fresh while also building on the strengths that it already has. You know, you don't want to reinvent the wheel and change something good, but, you know, after 8 years, you can't just keep doing the same thing. And to that end, this year, we put together a really good program. We've added some different aspects this year. We basically have these three or four panels. So we'll do two in the morning and two in the afternoon. And this year, we've sort of broken it up a little bit. And we've added in some shorter panels, some more. For example, we have a session led by Monica Barracosa about social media and just sort of trying to get engaged and help women get engaged in the conversation with social media. Another one of the earlier panels in our day is developing women leaders and what's working today. And one of the themes this year is also mentorship and sort of passing the torch. So for the last several years, we've had Sheila Murthy from Murthy Law, Leslie Mancuso from Jipaygo and from WTCI, and they've been the moderators for the event. And this year, to kind of change it up a little bit and to build on our theme of mentorship, we've decided to have them pass the torch. And so this year, they'll be handing over their moderating duties, give a new chance to some younger people from those companies to shine and to grow. And that's sort of what the program's all about. It's women helping women. Because I guess when the program was started, we found that I wasn't there, but this is what I'm told. So I'm and I trust my colleagues. But they found that having a women-only networking event just created a different dynamic that allowed for better connections, especially, you know, when you have a male-dominated business world that we still tend to live in. And if you come to some of our events, you sort of see that to an extent. But to have 300 women that are all excelling and all excellent at what they do in a room, it's an incredibly inspiring experience. And when I'm at this event, I kind of have to stay out of the way. So I kind of see what's happening, but I'm not really involved. You know, I do the planning of it and then kind of try and stay out of sight and make sure everything flows right. But it's an amazing event, and we get accolades every year, and we get more accolades from this event than from any of our other events, just because I think it really touches people on an emotional level. And which, you know, I think we have a lot of great events, but I don't think any of our events have sort of the emotional connection to that people get out of it as the Women's Expanding the Globe Leadership Conference. One of the things that we've tried to expand on this year in particular is making it more of an interactive event. And one of the ways we're doing that is through social media, trying to get people more involved with that. We're going to do live polling where we're going to be able to ask questions and then show people up live as they're coming in what the answers are. As well as we're doing a coffee tasting with Doobie's Coffee and Artifact Coffee, which are two of the better coffee shops in town, and they're going to conduct an international coffee tasting. One of the panels we have is the Global Business of Doing Good, and it it deals a lot with social entrepreneurship. And coffee is not just a nice, tasty drink to wake you up in the afternoon. It also is very important to women around the world, and it has a very strong connection because women are the laborers of coffee around the world, but they're not necessarily the owners. And the Women's Coffee Alliance, one of their goals is to try and put women in the ownership position to make a better economic future for themselves and their families through coffee, which they're already directly involved with. And, you know, one of the ideas with this was to take the social entrepreneurial side but actually allow people to taste it and not just hear about it or not just see it. And we know we're doing the same thing. We're having Taharka Brothers Ice Cream, which De La Soul and Taharka Brothers have a partnership in Haiti where they're growing coca beans and vanilla beans out there to be suppliers for Taharka Brothers Ice Cream, which is based in Baltimore. And that's been a great program. Nina and Janine have done some work with them on some other initiatives. But that's sort of the idea, is to try and give people another way of experiencing the impacts that they can have and how they can learn from each other.
I just wanted to say how the Harko Brothers is the perfect example of how our different activities come together at some point. The Harka brothers we know through our professional exchanges program that we connected some social entrepreneurs from Haiti with. And this is how the Harka knew about the needs of Haiti to create more jobs and work in agriculture and so on and so forth. And from there, it sparkled the idea in them of maybe importing their vanilla beans, which is a very, very expensive product from farmers in Haiti. They didn't have the connection. They connected with De La Soul, which is an American firm already doing some work there. And this is how this relationship led to generating over 300 jobs in Haiti, I believe.
I don't know how many jobs it generated, but the one thing that was very impactful for me was I went to Taharka Brothers' factory, and they showed me the first package of vanilla, or actually it wasn't the vanilla, it was the coca beans they got, and it was just a padded envelope with about 30 stamps on it, and they had some of the beans there, and it was just amazing to see. And if you've ever have you ever had their ice cream?
No,
they have it at a bunch of places. It's really good. It's very well. I think it got voted Baltimore's best, actually. Mm-hmm. But it's just amazing to see, sort of from such a humble beginning to now, it's all over the city, and it's also doing something great in Haiti, and it's doing something great in Baltimore's community as well. And it's just great to be a part of something like that, or to even have an impact on it. But, you know, you think you see a small organization, and I like to think through something maybe we sparked, we've helped them become an international organization and doing good on an international scale. And I think from some of the testimonials we got from women spanning the globe, that's sort of, even though that didn't come out of it, that's sort of the idea that we hope that women get out when they attend the event, is they see these inspiring stories and it inspires them to push themselves further and to see that the endless possibilities that are out there. And it's definitely happened from the things we've read.
In terms of what else we're trying to get out of this event, it's really continuous engagement, awareness among Maryland women that A, the event exists, there is a forum for them to share international experiences, because there are a lot of wonderful, great women's events in Baltimore and in Maryland in general. What our event is unique for is its international focus and international twist. We do try to get women inspired and engaged with this event and maybe get interested in some of our other programs and some of our other activities and continue their participation with WTCI events, but also with each other to continue the conversation amongst them about their success stories, about how they got where they are, because this event is for women from all walks of life and at many different levels of their professional development at the moment. As Wally said, it is very inspirational for many, many of them. And the LinkedIn network is a way that they can stay in touch and continue the conversation.
I would also add that out of all of our events, the Women Spanning the Globe event probably has the most diverse career ladder of attendees, from sort of entry level to CEOs. I think most of our other events tend to have higher up in people's careers. But at the Women Spanning the Globe, it really spans the whole gamut. And I think that's another nice aspect to it, is putting everyone in one room and sort of putting everyone on the same level. And I think that's part of the other aspect that just really works about the event.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I would just say that I encourage people to visit our website. We do have a few nice things coming up. The women's event is only in 1 week, but in the summer, we are hosting a Taste of Business series, which will feature the World Cup at Fogo de Chão. We have a Inside series coming up.
Inside series at Independent Can Company in Bellcamp, Maryland, where you'll get a chance to tour the factory.
When's that going to be?
It is in August, okay. I believe. But real quick about Inside series in general, we do it with the Regional Manufacturing Institute. And it's a program where we actually go inside factories and get a look about the manufacturing process. I've been to a bunch of them, and it's an incredible experience. One of the last ones I went to was inside Domino Sugar, and we went inside the Domino Sugar factory in the harbor.
Cool.
And it's, you know, just having grown up in Baltimore, to actually finally
see that.
You're used to it, you see it every day, and to finally get inside there. And out of all my inside experiences, that was the most factory-like setting. I mean, it was exactly what you'd picture a factory to be. It was a pretty incredible experience.
Now, hitting back on what you just said is an important question. You know, did Bulgaria get in the World Cup?
Nope.
Does Bulgaria ever get in the World Cup?
Yes. We were four in 1994.
Okay. Really?
Yes.
Ah, I didn't mean to put
luckily,
you on the spot.
Our colleague Eddie Resende is from Brazil, so they usually do all right.
He's probably never hear the end of it.
We also have a colleague from France, so you know it's either or. Like,
mm-hmm. I don't know how good Indonesia is, though.
Yeah, we also have. We're a very international team.
Oh, it sounds like it.
We're a very international team. Yeah. I'm
sure the betting pool there is pretty interesting.
Yes. But maybe in terms of last word, so mm-hmm. it's www.wtci.org.
Mm-hmm.
There would be something for everybody in terms of upcoming events or membership or professional exchanges. We're, as I said, always looking for new homestay families and people just interested in volunteering, getting more involved. So that's always on the table. And I guess that's it.
We're recording this on May the 13th, and the Women Spanning the Globe Conference is May the 21st, so that's a time restraint. But you can talk about that, too, if you on the website. You can see what you want to see if you want to. There's still tickets available, too, right?
There are still,
if we get this,
yes.
We'll get this up in a couple of days, and so there'll
depends
be
how quickly you get it up.
Yeah.
There are still a few tickets available. The event is not only educational, it's also fun. We're going to have a happy hour at Mr. Rain's. Rebecca is going to give a tour of the AVM. We have the coffee cupping at the end. So besides all of the connections and information you get, you do get to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a long day, but it's all worth it.
Well, thank you very much for being here. I appreciate you coming by and telling us about the World Trade Center Institute.
Thank you.
Right now, I'm still in the infant stage, and I'm recording all the shows, but I'm going shortly to some live program. And within that, we'll do some live forums. So I hope you come back, and we can talk to people worldwide about what you're doing and connect and network and do all that good stuff.
I'd love to.
Be great.
Okay, I hope you had a good time here.
Thank you, David.
I've been talking to Nina Bankova, the Director of Professional Exchanges, Strategy, and Business Development at the World Trade Center Institute, and Wally Pinkard, who is the Marketing and Event Planning Manager at the same institution. I'd like to thank you for coming on Baltimore Internet Radio. This is Dave Custy, your host. We'll see you soon.